Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? It is a Friday on the Doug Gottlieb Show. John Ramos is hanging out as well. It is also a special day as we celebrate 50 years and now a day of life for our anchor, Ralph Ervin. Welcome in, everyone. It is great to have you with us as there is now less than 60 minutes away from baseball's trade deadline. I mentioned Ralph's name. He will keep you updated on everything that is going on in Major League Baseball. 58 minutes, 45 seconds and counting until that deadline. But we start, Mike, with the trades that did and didn't happen last night in the NBA. Now, they can't become official until August 6th, but the biggest trade of the night and one of the bigger trades that we've seen in the NBA when you have these crazy off seasons was Russell Westbrook going from the Washington Wizards to the Lakers for a package that includes Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and a pick from last night's draft. Other picks involved as well. But, Mike, this was a big trade, and I'm not trying to just sell it because it's the show. It's a big trade because it's the Lakers, but it's also a big trade because it's Russell Westbrook for a guy that I don't know if there's a guy in the NBA that we have really been all over the map on when we talk about how we rate this guy, how we analyze this guy. And he truly is one of the superstars. And I would say that stat stuffer sometimes now comes into the equation when it comes to Russell Wilson. It's one of the monikers that we have about him. And now he goes to LA and trying to win a championship. So you take all those forces together, and it's why it's a magnificent trade happening in the NBA. But I would say overall, the sense that I got was a negative reaction on the Lakers' sides of things. When you heard Russell Westbrook was going to the Lakers, what popped into your mind last night?
I celebrated it for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's one of my favorite players just to watch. You know, and people can get into what maybe there's a minute here and there in games that they get upset or the tip to the, you know, opportunity to get the triple-double because he needs that 10th board. Whatever the case may be, I get it. There's some hand-wringing that goes to it. And when we get into the playoffs, well, that's a whole other discussion. And we can do that with pretty much, 98% of the NBA? There's regular season guy and then there's the few, and that's why they separate themselves to become all-time greats. But from a work side, right, for what we do and living in Los Angeles and broadcasting from here, this is great theater. Are you kidding me? I just started fist-pumping like I was the biggest Lakers fan in the world. Because now it's one of two things, and you had the tweet to encapsulate it all, so I'll just lead up to that. But just the idea that if it succeeds, it's going to get everybody in their feels about LeBron and teaming up and whatever else. And then if it doesn't, well, then those that are, well, they're hate watching, right? Because we talk about the importance of hate watching in sports. Maybe I do that more than others. We appreciate what's going on the court, on the diamond, on the gridiron, whatever. But whenever there's a team that you really don't like for one reason or another, in this case, the Lakers, because it just seems that other than that six-year block, they're in the finals or fighting for a finals appearance every year, that, you know, they're that team that you shake your fist and you're mad about, you know, because they got richer. And now it's just a matter of how do you round off the rest of the roster. I mean, it's great theater either way. If it's good, great. If it's bad, it's the other. And for you, I think you had the tweet of the night that I would like put on a plaque.
Well, in full disclosure, I said this to Doug at the end of yesterday's show, and I figured I should put it in tweet form. But the ones that benefit the most from Russell Westbrook are LeBron and AD, because Laker fans then can blame Westbrook for all of the Laker misfortunes that may happen next season, and that is what is going to happen. But one of the things that I have learned, and I don't necessarily disagree with anything that you said there, but one of the things that I've learned in trying to analyze on who's a better team, who wins this game. It's how does the other team feel about it? We talk about it on fourth down like in NFL games. If it's fourth and two on the opponent's 43-yard line, what does the other team want you to do? If they want you to punt, then maybe you should go for it. And if they want you to go for it, then maybe you should punt. That's how we look at it. And I look at it as, how does the rest of the Western Conference look at that Lakers deal? And I don't know, Mike, if any team is saying, ah, darn it, they got Russell Westbrook. I really don't. And it's not that the Lakers aren't giving up a lot in terms of what will be missing from their team. It's just the fact of they gave up so much that I don't know what else they can do as well. And that's where I it leads me to this. And I think of the Lakers and I say, this NBA that they think now exists doesn't. And I've really turned on the big three in that sort of window that we've had in the NBA. You got to have a big three. Who's Milwaukee's big three? Who's Phoenix's big three now? Does Utah have a big three? Brooklyn's got a big three. Who's the big three? If you could get eight guys who can contribute and you can have a hierarchy. You can have a one, you can have a 1A and a 1B, but you need seven or eight guys to do so in the NBA. And I would argue that when you look at the last couple of champions that we've had, when it came to the Raptors and when it came to the Bucks, taking the bubble out of consideration, but even take the Suns getting to the finals this past year, yeah, Kawhi was the best player on the Raptors and got them over the edge, but they also had guys down through 6, 7, and 8. You had Norman Powell coming off the bench for that team. There were other guys that contributed with the Bucks as well. So, you know, Dante DiVincenzo goes out. Pat Connaughton starts getting more minutes. Bobby Portis became a guy. You need that sort of stuff. And that's where I just wonder with the Lakers. And I think that Rob Pelinka and the Lakers just kind of take the easy way out. To me, it wasn't the deal yesterday. It wasn't as much about Russell Westbrook as it was about whether he's going to work or not, as it was about Rob Pelinka and the Lakers just thinking, well, let's just throw a bunch of guys in and bring in one guy, and then people can't say we didn't do our job. And I don't know if that recipe works anymore in the NBA, and I don't think it works, and I just don't think that it's going to work for the Lakers, even if Russell Westbrook turns out better than we could have expected.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things, and look, I don't want to belabor what the last year was, right? And it's certainly not going down that hole. The injuries! But it was a strange year. I think we can all stipulate to that. And the Bucks depth, you bring up DiVincenzo. He was one of the reasons I didn't pick him to go far. Mm. And shame on me. But you also
you're the
look,
only one. Don't worry
and,
about
and
it.
And by the way, with the big three, though, three's a magic number. We learned that from Schoolhouse Rock 40 years ago. It has not changed. It has been remade and repackaged in so many different genres because it's true. 3, 6, 9, you know. But anyway, I figured you'd start singing along with me.
I just know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's
Little Electric Company. Yeah, yeah, I could dig that.
That's all I could remember from that.
No, that was good, too, because you were just picturing the pinball machine as you did that, too. But you mentioned all the guys that get traded away in this package. Obviously, the NBA rules on finding salary matches and all that kind of fun stuff. I'm mad because KCP was the architect of all this. And even though he's still clutch sports, I mean, they did him wrong and sent him out of town. But when we look at it, these were all guys they were trying to get rid of in some fashion anyway. So they all get packaged. Doesn't leave him with many guys signed, right? We talk about Schroeder having to be a sign-and-trade kind of situation. Talen Horton-Tucker, what is he? What's that contract look like as he goes? Or is he a guy that is coveted enough on other teams that you find a deal with him? Or are you going to find a bunch of veteran guys? I mean, immediately, and it wasn't just because Jason Smith was talking with me to speak it into existence, but how many times did you see the name Carmelo Anthony come up to where it started like, all right, here's the veterans that want to try to fight for a ring, and having a year in a Laker uniform would be a big deal. So that's part of it as well. But, yeah, for Rob Pelinka, went big game hunting here. And I really do think, and as we talked about since – their ouster in the playoffs, like, you just didn't have a lot of assets on the books to really even make deals with, right? Because we had the reports a week ago that they basically offered Kyle Kuzma to everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not that he's not a guy that serves a function, but he certainly has not become the every game player that everybody would have anticipated because they gave him his shot, right? He was the golden child for Jeanie Buss and company. Everybody else got shipped off early.
Sure.
He was the last man standing, and now he's gone.
Do you think that LeBron played a role in any of this?
Because 100%.
There were the Buddy Hield talks, and we're in a week where Aaron Rodgers wants more input, and I just wonder if that was beneficial for the Lakers. I mean, if LeBron, I'm not trying to pin it on LeBron, but if LeBron is saying like, yeah, go out and get Russell Westbrook, there's a guy giving his input. But again, it's the Pelinka deals are we'll trade everybody for Anthony Davis, we'll trade everybody else for Russell Westbrook, and then the ones that that when he tried to piece something together, and maybe that's what burned him. Were the signings of Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder this past offseason. Maybe that is why they ended up turning back to it. But to me, it just seems that it's looked at as almost like, I don't want to say the easy way out, because I don't think they're out. Like the Lakers are going to compete because of the guys that they have. But the injuries that you point to, you talk about another now full season, mm-hmm. even with a shortened offseason for these guys. There's no guarantee that AD, LeBron, or Russell Westbrook are going to make it through the season unscathed and be healthy for the playoffs. And you're just putting a lot of your eggs in one basket. And I don't necessarily get it when it comes to the Lakers sort of things. Like the Buddy Hield thing is like, okay, we filled the need. We got a 3-point shooter. But what does Russell Westbrook do? And now what else do you have? Now you're just bringing in random pieces to fill out your roster, and that's just the difficult part that I have about it. I just think the Lakers front offices are making easy moves when they actually have a brand that people would want to go to, and maybe they could be more deliberate in figuring out who they want to bring into town.
Yeah, I mean, they made a couple of signings, undrafted players, and you start wondering how they fit into any kind of long-term plans. The three-point shooting piece is certainly something that needs to be addressed as we talk about what Russell's 30% guy for his career, right? 30.5. So that's certainly not in his game. And he's shown a willingness to kind of push that off, right, and eschew those shots before. I think it just goes back to, again, for the regular season, for the load management games / actual injuries that come in for LeBron and Anthony Davis, you've now got another guy that you don't have to worry about, oh, wow, I sat down for 3 minutes and our 12-point lead evaporated, right? Westbrook could still take care of that stuff. But to that point, you don't have depth. And you mentioned Milwaukee. Bobby Portis playing out of his mind. Can't wait to see what kind of deal he gets next. Not that the Bulls couldn't have used him in that format a couple years ago. Chicago bias coming in. And the Raptors before that, you know, adding Kawhi and whatever you think of Kawhi, he just goes to work. Now, injuries and disagreements with training staffs aside, when he's on the court, you know what you get. So it's a little bit of a different NBA. But what rules in Hollywood, Dan Byer? Star power. Welcome home, Russell Westbrook. Welcome home.
It gives Rob Pelinka just the opportunity to be like, hey, look, I made this deal if things don't go wrong. And he's saying, hey, it's the easiest thing to do. It's easy to just do that and to have guys throw a bunch of pieces together and bring those superstars in. I think that they took the easy way out again. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You can reach both of us on Twitter. You can get Mike at Swollen Dome. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Byer on Fox. While the Lakers were taking a big swing, another NBA contender in the West stood with the bat on their shoulder. We'll tell you who that was next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What a jam.
Oh, yes. Man.
Oh, yes.
Listen to that bass line.
Yeah. Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. It just keeps going and going. Sitting in for Doug today. The Warriors picked 7th last night in the NBA draft, taking Jonathan Kuminga with that pick. And then with number 14, they took Moses Moody. There was an opportunity for Golden State to possibly trade those picks, Mike Harmon, to the Philadelphia 76ers. Keith Pompey, who covers the Sixers out of Philadelphia, reported that the Sixers had offered Golden State number 7 in last night's draft, number 14, Andrew Wiggins, this is what they wanted, James Wiseman, and 2 future first-rounders for Ben Simmons. That was what Philadelphia was asking for when it came to if Golden State would want Ben Simmons. It sounds like, in my mind, 4 first-rounders and 2 players. I actually think it's 5 first-rounders because Wiseman was a first-rounder last year, and he's just in his rookie deal, and he was the 2nd overall pick. To think, and Andrew Wiggins, you know, is developed into a more consistent player with some value, 18, 19 points a game. Mm-hmm. That's a lot to ask for Ben Simmons. It's actually an absurd ask by the Philadelphia 76ers. And it ended up being a deal that the Warriors said thanks, but no thanks. But in the end, Warriors silent on draft night when maybe they were one of the teams that we thought could have been making some moves to try to get up into the top of the Western Conference again.
Now, if that is legitimately the asking price for a guy that you've made no secret that you want to move, that you got to rework the art of negotiation, right? Daryl Morey, you know, go Cats, and his history in the NBA, he knows better than this. If that is legitimately the price of playing poker here, you're going to be asked to leave the table because you have no idea the rules of the game. I know you got to make things match in terms of salaries because you spend a lot of money on Ben Simmons. One of the things I really don't like about the NBA when it comes to these trades, like, are we within that threshold? All right, throw in one more guy or that guy whose contract is still on the books from, you know, 2008, which there are plenty of them across the NBA. Bobby Bonilla is not the only one, people. Lots of folks getting paid long after they're
Larry
done.
Sanders is still getting paid by the Bucks.
Exactly. You see, it goes on down the line. $5 million cap hit for the Lakers for Luol Deng. There you go,
sure.
Laker fans.
Yeah.
I had to bring something back in, you know, since I was so positive about the move and what LeBron was able to orchestrate for himself and for us, the adoring audience and venom-tongued people here on sports radio and in sports media. But like you said, Wiseman 1 year in, all those draft picks, and a guy who's averaging 19 a game and has realized what he is in the NBA. He's not a one, but if he's going to be your number 3 option, sometimes a number 4 option on any given day, I think you'll take that and you'll run screaming. Like, you'd love that production in that capacity. So bringing on Ben Simmons' salary, and look, to a degree, you would say for the Warriors, okay, well, why wouldn't they do that? Klay Thompson, you don't know what Klay Thompson is. Right, this isn't a video game
question
where we can pick up from 3-4 years ago and say, that's the guy I'm getting. No, he's two big injuries, and now he comes back. And Draymond Green has his moments and still a defensive terror at times, and a guy that, you know, can distribute the basketball, but he doesn't score anymore. So you need more. And Steph Curry, right, is now another year removed. Folks keep thinking, I always caution this when we go through our sports guys, right? Chris Paul, Tom Brady, and LeBron James, we know their age because it is 37-year-old this, 36-year-old this, 43-year-old that, right? Everybody else doesn't have that number attached to them. They're either really young or kind of in no man's land. Steph Curry's been in the league a long time now. He's not a kid just because he looks like one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because he's still baby faced and selling you miniature golf on your television. It doesn't mean that, you know, he's a young guy by NBA standards anymore. So when you're looking at building, is Ben Simmons the guy that's going to get them over?
Well,
everything else has to go right. And you've given up the future for that? No chance.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And realistically, when you're looking at players on the floor, and this we saw this a variety of times in the playoffs with the injury scenario with a lot of good teams, whether it be the Lakers, whether it be the Bucks, whether it be a Brooklyn team, how they were managing, whether it be a Hawks team, how they were managing playing when one of their stars were out with injuries. And what ended up happening, Mike, is you had limited offensive options. You would have times in the NBA playoffs where you would have five guys on the court and only three of them were legitimate scorers. There were two guys that you could not count on in scoring. And when you're Golden State, isn't that what you already have with Draymond Green? Like, and I'm not, and by no means am I trying to diminish what Draymond Green is, because I am not trying to do that at all. But everything that Draymond gives you outside of scoring is why he's on the court, right? Like, that's
right.
For his defense, right. For his passing, for his leadership, all of those reasons. That's why P.J. Tucker got so many minutes for Milwaukee, for his defense, for his leadership, when he's only making one corner three maybe every two games.
Right. And he does everything else. He ain't filling the stat sheet, but
correct.
He's a pivotal piece to how you're playing team defense.
So now if you're Golden State, are you really going to sell the entire farm for another Draymond Green?
And a guy who won't shoot. At least Draymond, every once in a while, he'll look around going, "Art, if you're not going to guard me, I've got enough confidence and skin in the game that I'll take the shot." Ben Simmons wouldn't dunk. Okay?
Yes.
Forget about the mid-range. Forget about his struggles at the free throw line this year. Forget about the fact that three-pointers exist for 7'5" big men more than they exist for him. He wouldn't dunk.
Yeah, to even think that it could work with the Warriors, and I understand where the Warriors are also thinking all right, if we bring him in, he's not going to be the number one guy or the number two guy. He's going to either be three or four. But when you look at that layout, it doesn't make a lot of sense for you. Plus, if you're the Warriors with all of the assets that you do have from the rough times that you had, is it really worth going all in? Doesn't look like Beal's in the equation. I don't know if Lillard is really in the equation either. Although maybe he would love to have the opportunity to go back to back to the hometown of Oakland and play in the Bay Area. It just doesn't seem like Portland would be willing to trade him to Golden State. Could be wrong. Point is this, is that Golden State, and you hit on it, Klay Thompson's return is just no guarantee. And unlike the Lakers, who are we'll just give everybody away and we'll figure it out, at least the Warriors were judicial in what they're doing. They're not in that upper echelon of the Western Conference right now, and I don't think that you could say that with Klay Thompson because of his injury history. But I at least give them credit for understanding that a deal wasn't there for them last night. And Bob Myers had even said it, he had been receiving texts from Draymond Green about who they should pick, and Steph Curry and Klay had input. But at least the Warriors were patient in the wait and see, where they didn't give away all their assets and assets that may not even fit in the long run. So I tip my cap to at least Golden State and being patient, and I don't know when it's going to turn around. I actually think that with Klay back, their story becomes even more interesting, is more of that comeback team that maybe you want to see again. I'm maybe coming full circle on the Warriors, because it was cheer for the Warriors, hate the Warriors, and then it's maybe kind of pull for them again. But they didn't do a Lakers last night, and I at least commend them for that.
Well, when we look at, you're selling the farm. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and recognize who and what you are. Mm-hmm. And yes, some of us look in and we see the muscles and hairline of our younger selves. And that's what Myers and company could have done last night, going, well, all we need is one more piece. Because Steph's going to be Steph. There's no question about it. There's no drop-off. And Klay Thompson, we put him in the Wayback Machine. No, this isn't a time heist like you're in a Marvel movie. I did that for Ramos. Love you, Ramos. you just can't assume all of those are going to be great and give up all of those picks and give up on Wiseman. Oh, and give up your number three guy. Sorry, Draymond. It just does not make it any sense. And that asking price to me is just still going to make me scratch my head. Now, if things do break right for you, bring in Kuminga and Moody on the wings, and Wiseman develops and Clay's healthy, and he's not going to be 100%, but if he's anywhere near what he was as a two-way player, and Steph's still draining threes and Draymond's still wreaking havoc, then, come trade deadline, can't wait to see if there's a move in the offing. No question about it. But to mortgage everything last night would have been splash for splash sake. See what I did there? Boom!
Yeah. I'll even go back to just this point. Remember when the Cavs swung the deal? They drafted Andrew Wiggins, and then they ended up trading him to Minnesota as part of the Kevin Love deal. The thing that I remember about that is there were times after the deal was completed that you kind of look back and say, you know what, maybe the Cavaliers could have used Andrew Wiggins. Maybe they could have made him a defensive guy. Now, in the end, the Cavs ended up getting their title with Kevin Love being a part of that 2016 team. But you just don't know. You just, you know, like at the time, you're like, first overall pick Andrew Wiggins, an unknown. Kevin Love, all NBA player, double-double machine. Absolutely seems like a no-brainer. And I think that's the same thing that you get with the Warriors. With some of these guys, it's, all right, you don't have to do anything drastic now. You don't have to do anything that's crazy, because maybe, just maybe, some of these guys may work out. Who knows what could happen the rest of the offseason? Could be a completely different story where they never really get a chance to look at the guys that they drafted. But all we know is last night on draft night, they've kept what they had and didn't do anything foolish. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. The deal is done. Max Scherzer and Trey Turner are heading to the Dodgers. That is finalized. There's no more speculation. The insiders are reporting it. But yesterday, I would say, John, what was it, about 24, 23 hours ago, we had news breaking from Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports and The Athletic that said, breaking, the Padres are close to a deal with the Nationals for Max Scherzer. That was the phrasing, right, John?
That is correct. With a breaking.
Yes,
right before that.
In all capital letters. This isn't a rain on Ken Rosenthal parade. That's not what it's meant to be. But I think that there's more at play here. When you heard Scherzer at the time was thought to have gone to the Padres, as a Dodger fan, how did that make you feel?
I was not happy. In fact, I think when you said it during your update, I like threw my hands up in the air, and I don't know if you saw that when you were doing the update.
Well, I do know, and Mike, I can tell you this, 10 minutes later during the commercial break when we both ran to the kitchen, John was still mad. John was not happy. And people, like, John's on-air persona is so happy and so friendly, but when it comes to the Dodgers, like, it's a different story. And John was not happy. And John and I at the time were even talking about how, well, the wording said that they were close on a deal. And what was unique, Mike, about that situation is a lot of times when a story like that breaks, the other insiders immediately, and it's not copying, they just hear the report or they get it, then they follow up with their source, then they can immediately respond, and then they'll say, you know, at Ken Rosenthal had it first.
Right.
But what I think happened yesterday is I think that the Washington Nationals absolutely used the San Diego Padres. Because the story that ended up happening, and used Ken Rosenthal specifically, the story that ended up happening was the players in the deal were agreed upon. So the Nationals and Padres had their pieces where the Nationals were good, Padres were good, they were ready to go. Now it was just up to if the Nationals were able to receive a better offer. And that's where I think Washington ended up leaking the news, or their source told Ken Rosenthal, which allowed the Dodgers to be like, it's one thing if Scherzer's going to go somewhere else. It's another thing to go to the team that you may have to face in the wild card round or that could win your division. I think the Nationals used Ken Rosenthal and were able to get a better deal out of the Dodgers than from San Diego. What do you think?
Oh, I think insiders get used all the time. And then it's just a matter of semantics in terms of how it actually gets reported out, right? And then you have other things that are going on. Like right now there's a fake passing. So at least it wasn't a fake Ken Rosenthal where everybody got excited. And then it's like, no, that really wasn't true. But I understand the emotion of it. And that's why, you know, it's the make sure you check all your sources, call them back again, get it in writing where you can. It's like, you're sure? Because if I'm going to go with this, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers and everything else, you want to make sure you're getting it right. Because that's the thing anymore, right? It's being fast is great. But when you get something wrong, you'll wear that a little bit longer as an insider. But I think this was, let's leak this to see what else is out there. Phone hasn't rung in a while. you know, like they goosh you when there's a television marathon or a telethon or something like that. Of, all right, we like the offer, but maybe there's just a little bit more. So, sure.
What was unique was that there were other people who were also then, they did follow up, but nobody had the deal as being done. There were reports from Jeff Passan. There were reports from Mark Feinsand, John Heyman. All of those guys also said that the sides were progressing on a deal, but there was nothing final as of yet. And that's why it just made me think even more so that the Nationals are like, all right, if we're really coming down to it, if it is between the Dodgers and Padres, let's see if we can squeeze this out a little bit more. John Ramos, when it came to the news that the Dodgers then were the ones that were not only acquiring Max Scherzer, but also Trey Turner, then what were your emotions on that deal?
Then I was very happy.
Then there was a complete
360, is that what it is? Or 180?
No, it's a 180.
180, okay.
Go 360, you're right back to misery, John. And maybe something happened on the board that puts you right back in that mood. But for that moment about your team, yeah, just 180.
Well, I tell you, I'm a very professional person in my job. And so even though I was upset, and Dan will tell you this, because I know there's plenty of times when he'd be doing a show with the Bucks playing, and his professionalism comes out on the air, not the fanism where, you know, you're like upset. You can hear upsetness on the air, you know, and stuff like that. So the show was run as positive and as professional as it was, even though behind the scenes, I was at that point was not a happy camper. So
grumbling John Ramos.
John was very neutral on the air, off the air, not necessarily the case.
A beautiful thing, man.
You can get John Ramos on Twitter at JSRamos06. Find Mike Carmen at Swollen Dome, and you can find me, Dan Beyer, at Dan Beyer on Fox. Coming up next, we look ahead for what's next for one NFL star quarterback. That's here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome aboard. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer, sitting in for Doug Gottlieb today. Baseball's trade deadline expires at the top of the hour. Big injury in the NFL today. We will dive into that in a little over 60 minutes from now. In about 40 minutes or so, we put John Ramos on the hot seats in a little game that we like to call fantasy .. football. But in the meantime, let's play a different game with our buddy Ralph Irvin.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Ralph, what game do we have today?
Today we have...
Psychic.
All right. That was coming.
Okay. We all did. Mike and I get to look ahead into our crystal balls or check out our magic eight balls and see what the answer is when it comes to a variety of likely sports questions. What do you got, Ralph?
Now that the great Aaron Rodgers topic of where will he end up has been extinguished for this year, let's start it for a new year. Where will he end up in 2022?
When this news came down earlier this week that Aaron Rodgers was going to show up to training camp and get that last year voided, possibly moving on, I will admit the first team that popped into my head were the Cleveland Browns. And I know it's crazy to think of Baker Mayfield, who could be closing in on an extension with that team, but right now there is no extension. There is no guarantee that it could be in the long-term future. I think if Aaron Rodgers has a decent season and Baker Mayfield falls off a bit for Cleveland, that Cleveland would be in the running to get Aaron Rodgers.
Much like as I'd like him to leave, he retires a Packer. He goes nowhere.
Ooh, staying put. Even if Devontae Adams ends up leaving,
well, I think they stick around, and someone needs to remind him.
He's got the franchise tag.
Yeah, you've got that at your disposal. They may have made promises to Rodgers that didn't necessarily make the same to Adams. But also, at some point, Aaron Rodgers has to realize, okay, the salary cap's going to go up, but if I give a little bit of a haircut here, all these guys that I wanted him to keep, maybe they could have. Oh, and I can call time out and argue that we shouldn't be settling for a field goal. Oh, wait, now I'm going back into history. Going forward, he stays a Packer.
Well, the one thing that I will say is next offseason, now that teams know that he could be out there, I think it's going to give them more ammunition, or give Green Bay, I should say, more options. That's probably the better phrase, of teams to trade him to if they did want to trade him. There could be a lot of teams that would be interested in Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think it would have been there if they'd just come up and made their mind that they weren't going to try to retain him for this year, right? All a matter of timing with all these leagues, right? And if they'd done it early enough.
Yeah, we had heard the 49ers reached out and that the Rams would have been interested and were rebuffed. But I truly think at the end, all it was basically the Broncos and Raiders, right? I mean, really, with the Broncos really being the only real option of a team that he could be traded for, I think you will have more options in the AFC if that's where he ends up going, allowing more teams to be in. And there will be other teams in the NFC as well. Who knows what happens in New Orleans, but I don't know if Green Bay would be willing to do that.
Well, like we said with the Warriors before, so we can move on to the next, sometimes you got to look in the mirror and know who you are and what you are. And for Aaron Rodgers, best shot of winning is right at home.
What else you got, Ralph?
Well, somebody else that people wanted, that would be Oklahoma State's Cade Cunningham. He went number one overall to Detroit last night in the NBA draft. Will he guide the Pistons to the playoffs this upcoming season?
Here's the thing. It's not as far-fetched as you would think because of what the Eastern Conference is, but I still think it's too tall of a task. I don't see it happening next season.
I think they could get into the play-in tournament. They get the player of the year, and I know Iowa Sam somewhere, his ears just perked up. They grab Garza. They add Livers. You've got the Killian Hayes. You've got a lot of young talent there. Bay, so many guys that are on the come that, yeah, I think youth could be served. And I like the most especially, not just that he goes number one, but that he tried to take over all NBA draft coverage. As soon as they gave him a microphone, he's like, I'm the captain now. Just go away. It's my show.
Have you guys heard my idea? I put this on Twitter when they won the lottery about the fan section that they should have in Detroit. The motorcade.
I like that.
Does that work? John Ramos, you like that? Motorcade?
I do like the motorcade.
Yeah, the motorcade. Here comes the motorcade in Detroit. All right, last one, Ralph.
Jets head coach Robert Saleh says rookie quarterback Zach Wilson has the inside lane to being the Jets starter this season, even though he hasn't gotten in the car. Will Zach Wilson be the Jets starting quarterback?
Oh, that's actually perfect. That's when you just show up for practice and you've already got the inside track, that tells you all you need to know about the Jets and their quarterback position.
Well, you know what? He had a good first series and then a bad second series today. All the jokes about how young he looks are still going to be out there. But I think decent receiving core retooled. Yeah, he's the only guy. James Morgan will not see the field.
That's game time.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Not that it's much of a surprise, but it is funny. Like, he's got, as Ralph said, he's got the inside lane, and he hasn't even been in the car. Get Mike on Twitter, at Swollen Dome. You can find me on Twitter, at Dan Byer on Fox. We discover what is really wrong with the NBA draft. We'll tell you what it is next.